To help put this into context, we're joined by Serhii Plokhii, a professor of Ukrainian history at Harvard University and author of Nuclear Folly, a history of the Cuban Missile Crisis. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on your show. It's a pleasure.
Professor, the last time Russia made a major move into Ukraine was when it annexed Crimea in 2014. Do you think Putin is preparing to invade, and is Ukraine prepared to fight back?
Yes, Ukraine is prepared to do that and is prepared much better than it was back in 2014 at the time of the annexation of the Crimea. Ukraine really has now an army that was tested in battle and has a really mobilized part of the population who volunteered already in 2014, 2015, trying to supply the Ukrainian army with almost everything because the country, the army were not prepared at all for that invasion. So Ukraine will fight and Ukraine is prepared actually to fight today more than it was in 2014.
So it's much harder, though, to answer whether Putin is preparing to invade, but more economic sanctions and an increased U.S. military presence in Ukraine could be very costly for Russia. I mean, is Putin really planning to invade, or is this more of a power play for influence?
Certainly, Putin tries by building up those tensions, by moving troops to the Ukrainian border. He tries to really improve his negotiation position with the West and with the United States in particular. But it doesn't mean that this is just or only a diplomatic tool, because we know that Putin is capable of using so-called military option. He did that in Georgia in 2008. He did that in the Crimea in 2014, and then with the hybrid war in eastern Ukraine that continues. So the chances of him invading and using the military force are very and very real. Whether he will do that or not will depend on his calculation of what would be the price that we would have to pay for that. The sanctions that are already there, they caused a lot of hardship for the Russian economy. And the big question is actually, what would be the response of the United States? What would be the response of Europe and Western countries to invasion if it really happens?
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has recently stepped up the call for Ukraine to be included in NATO. How much does Ukraine rely on the U.S. and other Western allies for support against Russia?
The ability that Ukraine has to fight that war, it would be impossible without the support of the West, the United States, the NATO countries to fight effectively. And in that sense, it's very difficult to overestimate the importance that the Western support plays in this ability for Ukraine to continue to stay as an independent state and as an independent country, despite those territorial losses back in 2014. So Western assistance, Western support are absolutely essential.
Right. And what you're saying here really shows that Russia sees NATO as an aggressor.
Russia sees NATO as an aggressor. That's the official certainly rhetoric. In more practical terms, Russia uses NATO as an excuse to do things that they want to do, for example, annex the Crimea, despite the fact that Ukrainian membership at that point in NATO was pretty much off the table. So it was used as an excuse. And what really that means is that NATO is an obstacle for Kremlin to establish this sphere of influence. Ukraine is not certainly a threat to Russia in any way, but it's Russia that invades Ukraine and occupies Ukrainian territory. But the accusations are made toward either Ukraine or NATO that tries to support the fight of Ukrainians for their independence. The independence was declared 30 years ago, back in December of 1991. It was confirmed by the referendum. More than 90% of the voters supported it. But Ukraine has to fight for this independence. And again, Western assistance in that fight are absolutely essential.
I want to ask you about something else. Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, who spent summers in Ukraine, said in 2014 he saw no difference between Russians and Ukrainians at all. Help us understand Ukraine's identity crisis. You mentioned the independence in 1991, but how it's influencing the current conflict.
The arguments like that, which are made not by Putin, but also by some leaders of the opposition as well, really deny in historical terms and cultural terms right of Ukrainians to exist as a nation. Because what the arguments like that are saying is not that Russians are really Ukrainians. The argument is that there is no Ukrainians per se. Ukrainians are Russians who maybe speak a funny version of the Slavic language, maybe have a different songs and dance differently, but basically they're essentially Russian. So this is an argument that was put forward by Vladimir Putin in the article that he published this summer. And this is an ideological preparation and justification for the possible invasion.
U.S.-Russia relations have been tense ever since Biden took office. What does this situation, from your perspective, tell us about the state of that relationship?
Well, the relationship are not good. This hybrid war in eastern Ukraine really changed the situation and changed attitude toward Russia in the West in general, not only in the United States per se. And we have this. The situation is not improving, but becoming worse since 2014.
Serhiy Plokhii is a professor of Ukrainian history at Harvard University. Thank you so much, Professor.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be on your show.